All right, welcome to Word Warren. We're going to talk about some books.
Books!
I'm Sarah, your host, and I have Justin with us.
Hello.
And Hannah.
Well, hi, guys.
We're going to talk about a subgenre.
Ooh. Oh. Ooh. Oh, we were supposed to react. No. Ooh.
Yay. Unless it's one of the ones I don't like. No. Right.
Unless it's, no, so we actually have an in-store signing event with Patricia Briggs coming up at the end of August.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think she pretty famously writes urban fantasy.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's her main series are urban fantasy.
Okay. So, yeah, we're going to talk about urban fantasy.
This is going to be fun. I'm going to ask a lot of questions.
Okay.
Surprise. Mm-hmm.
Surprise.
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 We missed having you on last time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There were no questions. Mm-hmm. Is that what happened?
There were no questions.
They left you alone.
I had to field all of the, like, political discourse all by myself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was awful.
There was political discourse without me?
I know.
Briefly. Yeah. Briefly. Yeah. I mentioned capitalism, so. Yes.
Well. It's part of everything. It's part of the fibers in trees now.
Right.
It's too bad. True. Like literally, with GMO, right?
Mm.
I'm sure they've modified trees to grow.
I mean, broccoli.
I love broccoli.
I love broccoli. Mm-hmm. Broccoli is a genetically modified crop.
Is it?
It is. It was specifically bred to be broccoli.
Yeah.
It came from a different plant entirely, and they bred it specifically to get the big flowering crowns.
Huh. I like it.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Broccoli, I got told once in a college course, it was a nutrition class,
mm-hmm.
And my nutrition teacher, who was a doctor of nutrition, I don't know what that's called, said that broccoli was the only reason I was probably alive.
Because hey, I mean...
We had to do, like, where you recorded everything you ate for weeks, and I was having these weird cravings. I was just eating garbage because I was, like, 22 living by myself.
Yeah.
But I'd have these weird cravings where I'd microwave, like, a whole bag of broccoli and just eat it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And my nutritionist was like, what's that? And I was like, I don't know. I just get these crazy cravings. So I eat them. She's like, oh, okay. And then after she went through my list, she was like, oh, it's because you're not eating any vitamins or nutrients and your body is panicking.
Yeah,
like, this is why you're alive.
Like forcing you to want something good for you.
It's like, I will occasionally like not eat well for a while and my iron levels will dip. And then I'll just like want nothing but broccoli for like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I will just binge eat broccoli. And then I don't want to eat broccoli again for like a month.
I was like working out, working at Charter, like and just eating like the worst chicken nuggets with the worst barbecue sauce for like every meal and some tater tots.
You mean like me getting my McDonald's chicken nuggets like for lunch almost every day?
Really?
I mean, not every
day. That's kind of,
but a lot.
I haven't eaten McDonald's for so long. I'm so jealous.
I'm so mad at myself because until I started working here, which is right next door to a McDonald's, I hadn't eaten a McDonald's in like 8 years. And then I was like, oh, but McDonald's is right there and the chicken nuggets are like a dollar.
And they're so good.
And they're so good, but they're so bad. They're just processed meat.
Yeah. I mean, and meat. Let's not even say chicken. Well, like,
quote unquote meat.
It's chicken adjacent.
It's so product. Good, though.
It's so good.
Speaking of urban fantasy,
we all live in a fantasy where the chicken nuggets and McDonald's are meat.
No. Yeah. I want chicken nuggets to be meat and to have as much nutrition as broccoli. And then that's all I'm going to eat ever.
Yep.
But now I got to make my own stupid food because I'm a grown up and it's all sad.
I know, right? It's awful.
I eat so many eggs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like the easiest responsible food to make.
I buy the bags of like frozen veggies and I just eat. Like I'll just put those in the microwave and throw some butter on top of them and some salt. And then I'm just like, this is dinner.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah. I'm a grown up eating a vegetable.
Yeah, I like doing that with like the box mashed potatoes or potatoes and then just make my own like sad veggie bowl.
Oh, man. The saddest veggie bowl.
Mm. Then you put eggs on it because so you got to put eggs on everything. It.
Yeah. I mean, eggs on rice, breakfast.
Eggs on rice. Oh, eggs on rice, a little tofu sesame oil.
I like buying big things of fried rice from any Chinese food place that I go to, and then I just keep it and eat that for breakfast for like 2 weeks.
Are we hungry? We haven't talked about a book yet.
No, we haven't talked about any books.
I haven't eaten yet today. I'm really hungry.
Is there food in those books?
I mean, there is, though.
Right?
Because I mean, sometimes, I guess. Sometimes it's okay. People eat occasionally in those books.
Do you have a plan, Sarah?
I mean, not too terribly.
She's not too terribly with her giant page of notes.
That's a lot of notes.
Actually, this one I pulled up because I wanted to make sure I had the date right for Patty Briggs' signing. This is my note sheet for the signing event. So it's going to be August 28th at 2 p.m.
Okay, August 28th.
I mean, I'm assuming this is coming out before.
I believe so. It might be like the week before.
Otherwise, I hope we saw you there, or sorry you missed it. I don't know.
All right. So if you don't have a plan,
this will come out 2 weeks before, so we're fine.
I would like you guys to. So I know that Patty Briggs writes urban fantasy.
She writes urban fantasy and regular fantasy, but she's most popular for her urban fantasy Moon Called series and the Alpha and Omega series.
Okay. Which one has the wolves?
Both of them.
Both of them.
So the Mercy Thompson series, the Moon Called one, is the one that's set in the Tri-Cities.
Okay.
And that's the one with the coyote shapeshifter and the werewolves and the vampires. Mm-hmm. And then the Alpha and Omega one is specifically the werewolves, and it's set in Montana.
Okay. So Mercy Thompson is Tri-Cities-ish or mm-hmm. all the way?
All the way local.
Yep. Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The front of her books have a map of the Tri-Cities in them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
You got to have a map if it's a fantasy novel also.
Do you actually have to have a map?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think so.
Yeah. I mean, I think you should. I think you should if you talk about locations, right? Like if you're like, oh, and they went to this place. Mm-hmm. I would like to know where like that place is. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Exactly. So what is so likable? Sell me on the Mercy Thompson novels. I haven't read them. My sister is in love with them. Her first tattoo, maybe her second tattoo, was the paw.
Yeah.
That was fun. She loves them. I get her books when they get signed.
Yeah.
I know people who love them. Why? But I've never tried them, so.
I mean, I'm a big sucker for, like, urban fantasy in general, and I've always loved, like, vampires and werewolves and those kinds of stories. And I feel like the Mercy Thompson series is kind of unique in that there's romance in it, but it's not like heavily reliant on the romance, and the dynamics of like the pack structure and everything is really unique feeling to me.
Mm, okay.
And I feel like Patty does a really good job at making likable, flawed characters. Like Mercy isn't just this flawless, strong female lead. She's got a lot of issues to work through, and she's kind of stubborn and steps on her own stuff a lot, you know, gets in her own way constantly. I don't know. I like the Alpha and Omega series a little bit better than I like the Mercy Thompson series, but I feel like that's partly because I don't always enjoy reading books in first person perspective, which is all of the Mercy Thompson series. I like third person limited. Yeah. That's my preferred to read. So,
can you give me an example of the difference between third person limited and I know what first person
is. Yes. So third person limited is like telling the story in third person. So she did this, she did this, you know, he did that. But it's from the perspective of one of the characters. So you have more of an insight on that character's emotions and stuff, whereas the other characters, you don't really get to know what they're feeling as often.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. You only know that. So even though they're talking about the character in third person, you only know what that character knows.
Yeah. So the door slammed and she felt the fear, you know, from her childhood where, you know, whatever.
And first person would be the door slammed and I got so scared.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a hop to person, and everybody is explained the same way?
Not always. Occasionally, she will do like one chapter from one perspective and another chapter from another in the third person. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, it's just told from one character's perspective, and it doesn't hop back and forth too much.
Hmm. I think I mostly listen or read first person, right?
Possibly. I did this, I did that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing.
And then I shot this. And then I felt this. And
I don't enjoy it because I don't know. There's something about hearing or reading I did this when it's not something that I would do.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time getting into the character's mindset. And so occasionally a character will do something or like, well, I chose to believe him. And I'm like, I wouldn't do that. And I don't like this kind of thing. You're making this hard on me.
I don't normally notice perspective, I've realized recently, because I just get so into it that it's all the same thing. It's just the picture being generated in my head. And for the first time in a long time, I reread Upstairs is a team we listen to. Blackest, let me see. Nothing But Blackened Teeth.
Ooh. Oh, gosh. I want to read that book so bad.
So we listened to it. We just listened to it as a group because it was fun. I think she's Malaysian and she's writing horror in Japan in a haunted castle. It's pretty heavy, pretty Japanese horror, like heavy.
Sounds amazing. Yeah, it sounds so good.
The problem that I had then, and Aaron had mentioned it first and then I noticed it, was the internal monologue. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, you're good.
The internal monologue was so flowery and beautiful and just sculpted. But when it went to them talking in the quotes, the words they were saying were just regular people words. Mm-hmm. And that pulled me like so separate, like just like sculpting these beautiful lines. And I mean, using words I never would have thought to use. And then someone would be like, yeah, that's cool. You know, like hopping into just regular, like bonehead language. It's knocked me back and forth really hard. I had a hard time staying in one lane.
That's fair. I mean, I feel like your writing style needs to be a little bit consistent between dialogue and non-dialogue to really convey stuff.
It was not consistent.
Not consistent.
Still really good, though. You should... Cassandra Kaw?
Yeah.
Very good.
I love it. Sounds good, yeah. So, I guess before we get too far into the discussion, I'll do a sort of a... brief definition of urban fantasy.
Sounds good.
If you want to know what fantasy is a genre, go listen to our first episode.
Right.
We covered it extensively.
We have an entire episode where we just talked about what fantasy is. In depth.
So urban fantasy is a subgenre. It's an interesting one because subgenres within genres aren't always mutually exclusive. So you can actually have urban fantasy that's also a horror novel and stuff like that. So it kind of also crosses between a lot of the speculative fiction type stuff. So mainly it's the setting of the book that makes it an urban fantasy, and it's that it's in a contemporary and urban in a city that also has fantastical elements to it. Mm-hmm. And that's basically the definition of urban fantasy. Yeah.
So why do I connect urban fantasy with smut?
So a lot of urban fantasy falls into the paranormal romance category because a lot of it is that vampires and magic and love and werewolves and then that kind of stuff.
So smoldering vampires and smoldering werewolves.
A lot of it is. A lot of the really popular stuff is. Mm-hmm. Not everything in the genre is, but a lot of it.
So, so it even crosses over into romance a lot. So because I think there's just a lot of, it's easy, I don't know, I think when we talked about our romance as episode with paranormal stuff, it's it just gained so much popularity. And it's easy to write in that, creatively, to write I don't know.
Where did it gain its popularity?
As a subgenre in romance, especially because publishing companies, if a woman was writing an urban fantasy book, because it was written by a woman, it wouldn't get published as a fantasy novel. It would be published as paranormal fiction or romance.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because there's still a lot of that kind of stuff where it doesn't get taken as seriously as a work of
fantasy,
of fiction. So it gets labeled as paranormal fiction also.
And then a lot of the urban fantasy stuff that doesn't have romance elements ends up being YA.
Right.
So,
because there's still a lot of that going on in publishing as well. Mm-hmm. It's definitely moving away from it, but it's often the women writers just don't get taken as seriously as male writers.
They think that their brains are different, or what is the...
It's just a lot of old biases from publishing where they didn't think that women could write as well as men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Didn't have as many important things to talk about.
I mean, we don't want to get too political on here, but it's it's ingrained in our society.
Hmm. That's weird. It doesn't cross any logic for me that women don't have anything to say. Highly oppressed group of people throughout all time.
Yeah.
That's where, I read about, I like reading about struggle. Yeah. Right? I like understanding the perspective of the persecuted, the underdog.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Yeah.
But that's
you are absolutely right.
I don't understand this. I don't know. The people who get into power or who are in power often forget that getting into power is what, like, the richness of life comes from making things work and learning and growing and struggle. And, you know, like, you gain a depth of personality and tools and understanding through struggle when you are just floating all rich and fancy. Like, what do you learn?
They just have been, you know, anyway. We're going to move off this subject.
We're going to move off subject, Sarah. Are we going to move off this subject, Sarah?
Yes.
Do you need a whole episode where you just rant about women in publishing?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
I'm there for that bonus episode, 100%.
Patreon episode only where it's just us yelling for an hour.
Yes, exactly.
It makes me so sad. That's like where we learn. Where, how can we move forward in any kind of a right way when we're still limiting who we're listening to that way?
And that's why I like... When I say stuff like, I don't read romance, like, I don't mean it in a disparaging way. I don't prefer to have romance in my novels. And if you read romance, you are still reading a book. It's still fiction. It's a valid form of, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Prolific form.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. And there's some romance novels out there that are amazing. Yeah. Just such good writing. Mm-hmm. I miss out on a lot of it because I don't read a lot of romance. Yeah.
You don't shop in that section. And so, you know, it's just like... So, anyway, that went off on a tangent, but that is
that's
basically
what we do.
That's why people tune in and listen to us.
I think they're great.
I like our tangents. Yeah, exactly. Our episodes would be so short if we didn't have them.
Yeah.
It's just me reading from this page and then we'd leave. No.
Right.
Did Twilight affect urban fantasy at all, or is that so separate that it...
Twilight was YA. Mm-hmm. Pretty heavy.
I feel like it pushed like vampire and werewolf love further forward.
It probably did. Was one of the kind of like Harry Potter in the like magic kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It definitely got
like
big enough
to, like,
that people were like, oh, we can start writing about this now.
Right. Yeah.
Because before Twilight, there was a lot of vampire, like, romance stuff out there, but it was kind of smaller press, and it was kind of hard to find, and vampires were generally in the horror genre and stuff like that, and then Twilight was like, but what if?
But what if?
I mean, Anne Rice really did a lot for vampires,
That's true. Yeah.
The Sookie Stackhouse novels, too. Those came out before.
Oh, yeah. Sookie Stackhouse, Sookie.
Did they come out before Twilight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
Yeah. And I haven't read them yet.
They're really interesting. I only got to, like, the fifth one.
I read the first three in the Sookie Stackhouse. It was not for me. I didn't really like it. Although I did absolutely love the television show. Which was, like, a hot mess. It was insanity from beginning to end, but I loved every minute of it.
Why didn't you like the books?
Because they're romance books?
Kind of. Like, the mysteries in them, I didn't think were as interesting as they were in the show. Like, because it's also a murder mystery story, but there's also a lot of romance and sex in it. And, yeah, I don't know. I felt like in the books didn't develop the characters as well. I thought everybody was very two-dimensional.
I can see that. I can see that. Yeah.
It wasn't. And the only reason I read all three of them was because somebody gave them to me as a gift and I had to read all of them.
I will say I agree from reading the books because I was like, so many people that I know really like these books and I was reading through them and it almost felt like the characters and the mystery in the book was just a plot device to get to the romance stuff.
Yeah.
Like there wasn't a ton put into developing the characters or their relationships or the mysteries or solving the mysteries. It was like, oh yeah, this happens. And then they have sex.
Yeah. It's like, oh yeah. You're really good looking. I'm really good looking. Let's
In a similar vein to like the Sticky Stackhouse kind of like formula, Marie Janice Davidson does a whole series that starts out with a book called Undead and Unwed.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And I think as much as it is like really romance centric, I think she did a much better job at like crafting good characters that you really interact with. And it's so funny.
Yeah.
Like comedy is central in those stories, and I love it.
That's good.
It's the main character is this kind of like spoiled princess, like blonde girl who's super obsessed with like shoes and fashion and clothes, and she gets attacked by what she thinks is a homeless man and then hit by a bus. And she dies. And so the book starts out with her waking up in the morgue on the day of her funeral and being mortified by the shoes that her stepmother put her in to be buried with.
Oh my gosh.
And that sets the tone for the entire series.
Amazing.
And it's hilarious.
I've processed some of the books. I've read some of the backs. They look funny. The covers are funny.
Yeah, the covers are
so
great.
They're so funny. Mm-hmm. Like, I've read most of that series just because it's like, just like solid laughs the whole time. Like,
we should have talked about them, and because they definitely also have that very simplistic cover, like we were talking about with our Beach Reads episode, where it's just like very
cartoony
and like bright colors and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
hilarious.
So good.
But those would be romance urban fantasy.
Yep. Yep. They would.
Who would you say is the most? Who would you say is the most prolific, and who would you say is like the best of this urban fantasy genre?
Oh, that's hard to say.
Mm-hmm. I'd say I don't know anything about it though, so I got.
I mean, for the most popular, I think like Jim Butcher.
Jim Butcher would be one that everybody.
So that's urban fantasy.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The Dresden Files is definitely urban fantasy.
Patricia Briggs, Neil Gaiman to an extent. Some of his stuff maybe.
Neverwhere is urban fantasy, if Dresden Files are.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, and a lot of the people that write urban fantasy also write other genres too. So like it's hard to say like, oh, this person is like a monolith in urban fantasy because they also like Neil Gaiman, he writes urban fantasy, but he also writes other things.
Like I would even go so far as to say so Terry Pratchett with his it starts with Guards is like the
Discworld series.
Yeah. So but within the Discworld series, there's like a sub-series where it's all about the Night's Watch, I think is what they're called. And so even though it's not set in a contemporary like setting, it is set in an urban setting. So it could also, in a way, be defined as urban fantasy. Yeah.
So even a single vein inside of a book series could be urban fantasy because it deals with magic in
like
urban
a bustling
settings.
Yeah.
Like
typical
metropolis.
Like, like typically urban fantasy is more modern, like current setting and kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But
it could. Yeah.
Could be.
There's lots of
what's the author you like? Wibbly. Green?
Simon R. Green.
Yeah.
He's on my list.
Would he be urban fantasy as well?
The Nightside series and the Secret History series that he writes are both extremely urban fantasy.
Yeah. Okay. Because that's another like trope, I guess, of the urban fantasy genre is that it's either like fantasy, like creatures and magic, like living alongside people in urban settings, or like that live underground also in an urban setting.
Which Secret Histories is kind of like traditional urban fantasy, like set in the quote real world unquote, where things, you know, they're tracking down things that happen in the real world. And then the Nightside is set in like this weird, almost like second dimension where you have to go into the Nightside and it's just like a clone of modern day London, but it's filled with monsters and magic.
Yeah. Yeah. And it usually has a protagonist who is of both worlds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if Hellboy was novelized, it would be urban fantasy.
Yeah. Hellboy would be urban fantasy. So. Absolutely.
Okay, cool. That makes sense. I shouldn't expect a romance in urban fantasy because that would turn it into paranormal fiction if the romance was heavy enough.
Right. Yeah. Depending on how heavy the romance is, it would, because like I said, Patty Briggs does urban fantasy and there is definitely romance in her series, but it's not the point of every single book.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not romance books. I think the Mercy Thompson series, the main character doesn't actually end up getting into a relationship with the love interest until the fourth or fifth book. So it's very much building the like connections to the characters and like starting all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, so many books have romance built, like the Jack Reacher falls in love with some new girl every book.
Yeah.
Right. There's
it also depends on the like descriptions of the romance too, to categorize it as romance, I think. Like,
right.
Because yes. you can have people falling in love. That happens all the time. That's just a normal, general thing. Mm-hmm. But to mm-hmm. write about, to write a romance book, that has to be fairly central to the plot.
Yeah.
Okay. And they have to, it has to have a happy ending.
It has to have
a happy ending. It has to okay. have a happy ending.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. no Reachers have a happy ending. No. Not really.
Well, and that's, you know, most of the urban fantasy stuff that I read, like, some of, a lot of it has, you know, romance baked into it. But yeah, it's not necessarily each book is going to have a happy ending. Mm-hmm. They're very, a lot of them are open-ended because they're series. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like, oh, and then they fell in love and everything was good and everybody was smiling. It's like, right. oh, these two idiots fell in love and now we get to see how they save the world next time. Like,
exactly. All right. Yeah. So, I don't know, since we've been talking about some of our recommendations already, but do we want to start doing some recs?
Some recs.
Yes. For urban fantasy?
For urban fantasy.
Some parks and recs.
Mm. Yeah. I'm going to start with
yeah.
one of my favorites is actually, it's a duology. It's by Laura Ann Gilman. And the series title is Portals. And it's Heart of the Briar and Soul of Fire.
Ooh.
And oh God, it was really good. And it's like, so the main character is, she's a tech genius. She's like a hacker or like whatever. But she's not really a hacker because she's not a criminal. She works in cybersecurity. I don't remember it.
She's Penelope Garcia.
Yeah. yeah.
Exactly.
Yes. Exactly.
And she gets sucked into the world of like supernatural and she labels them as two different categories. So supernatural creatures, which are like mythical creatures like werewolves and selkies and things like that that live on our natural like world, mm-hmm. and then preternatural entities or whatever, which live outside, like in a Ooh. Another dimension outside okay. of ours, which is mainly like elves and things like that that are anyway. And so the first book is her boyfriend gets kidnapped by an elf into the other dimension or whatever, because in her books elves are very amoral, very like,
I mean, that tracks like, with like
yeah.
actual lore.
And kind of like yeah. it's that, what's that, oh, there's a Terry Pratchett quote, it's like elves are awe-inspiring or are awful because they inspire awe. I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah.
He has a really good quote about they're terrible or they're great and terrible. I can't remember. It's a really good quote and I always forget it. Anyway, so I'm going to look it up now.
That'll be the title of the episode. It.
Yeah, yeah. How about that? It's like, they're awful because they inspire awe. I don't know. Anyway. but anyway, so the reason that he gets kidnapped is because they live outside of the natural world, so they cannot create art themselves, but they love art.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and he is a poet. And so they're like, you're going to make poetry for us. So Ooh. Like,
that's interesting. They can't make art.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was really interesting. Different take on elves too, because like most of the time
elves are wonderful, they provoke wonder. Elves are marvelous, they cause marvels. Elves are fantastic, they create fantasies. Elves are glamorous, they project glamour. Elves are enchanting, they weave enchantments. Elves are terrific, they beget terror. The thing about words is that meanings can twist just like a snake, and if you want to find snakes, look for them behind the words that have changed their meaning. No one ever said elves are nice.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I like that quote a lot.
I like that. That snakes behind the words that have changed. Right? Mm-hmm. You see how often people manipulate and make this word mean something mm-hmm. just a little different.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Google.
Yes, thank you. It's gonna make me crazy. So anyway, I really like that one. And yeah, it was just a really interesting way where they also like the way that they melded technology and magic in that book was also really cool.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. I don't know. Should I keep doing my list?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, I don't know, American Gods. I think so. Yeah. It's like, it isn't always in a city, but it's like.
But there's enough city. Yeah. I feel like American Gods toes the line between urban fantasy and contemporary fantasy. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's enough of a connection that it counts.
Very wobbly, wobbly. Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree. It's, okay. I think it's enough. I mean, it's kind mm-hmm. of road trippy, but also you're fighting against technology. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Like, yeah. I love anything that's road trippy, also. It's. Yes.
Oh, we should just do a road trip episode sometime.
Should. We should.
Yeah. I don't have any recommendations Ooh. For that. But.
I do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're going to do that one then. Yeah. And then there was this really cute, I think it would be considered
started a middle grade series that was called Sarah Normal. And I read it because my name is spelled without an H and her name is spelled without an H. And it's a really cute little like book with about a 13-year-old girl who basically has to deal with like moving to a new city and, you know, like making new friends and going on her first date and all these things. But also she sees ghosts.
Oh, nice.
So
clearly.
And it was just really cute. And then In Every Generation by Kendare Blake, which is a Buffy novel, but it's Buffy's not the Slayer in it. It's a different Slayer.
I mean, Buffy is definitely urban fantasy.
Yeah. And it's really, really good.
We're here for Buffy all the time. Mm-hmm. This is a pro Buffy space.
Yes, Buffy.
I didn't watch Buffy or get into it, but I'm pro Angel. And so,
I mean, that's
through
fair.
The transitory properties.
Exactly.
Of yeah. Pro.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I know who Spike is. So.
There you go.
Yes.
I mean, that's really all you have to know.
That's all you need to know.
Because he is the narrator for the Dresden series.
Oh, yeah, he is. Oh.
And he does such a good job. Okay.
Oh,
my goodness. Yeah. Yes, he is. That's more how I know him now, being like 14 books into the series.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He does such a good job.
So good, yeah.
So, well, he's just baked into urban fantasy.
Mm-hmm, right.
All right.
He like really leaned into it, I guess.
James Marsters.
James Marsden? Den.
Marsden?
I think Marsden.
Marsden. Who's the Marsders? He's a...
Is James Marsders is the one that's Cyclops.
Yes. He's like handsome, but like angry looking.
Yeah.
Got a grumpy hotness.
You guys knowing celebrity names. I'm like, yeah, that guy that played Spike. I like him a lot.
I think Marsders was in The Mist or something.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
The Fog. One of the...
Yeah.
Foggy, I know Ian McKellen and Sir Patrick Stewart and like maybe three other celebrities by name. And then after that, I'm just like, you know that one guy that was in that movie?
Are you just pulling from X-Men? Is that what that was?
Yes.
Perfect.
I know Sir Patrick Stewart from Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Fair. I mean...
Get on it.
You had Cyclops and then you pulled out Magneto and...
I mean, yeah.
It was just... You
know. I mean, I do also know Hugh Jackman, so...
Yeah.
Trifecta of X-Men.
You. Huzzah.
Huzzah.
yeah. You got more on your list?
No, that was pretty much it.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
I oddly have a book that fits this that I didn't know fit it until we discussed it. Well, so the Dresden series, first of all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Neil Gaiman, Neverwhere is very like in the middle of the city.
Okay.
And Anansi Boys, he hops back and forth in the city a bit.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I just read something called Book of Night by Holly Black.
Ooh.
Yeah. Holly Black apparently is very famous. She writes very well.
Yeah.
It's a world where your shadows are like, they change with your level of power.
Ooh.
And some shadows like have power and you can feed them and grow them. And you can also steal shadows and reattach them to yourself. And it's like this fight for managing the shadow power, but also it looks like there's a way for shadows to separate from humans and work on their own. And they're trying to like hide this spell that's in a book somewhere. And I also like it because she is a plus size main character.
Oh, nice.
Who very much owns her beauty in a good way. And she's a crafty thief who everybody falls in love with. And
of course.
Love it.
I love it. That sounds so cool.
That sounds really good.
It was really good.
I've seen that book on the shelf and I've been like, oh, that looks really good. And
then
I just don't pick anything up because my to read list is.
It's good and it was easy to get through. They build a magic and fantasy system, but it's really just a little above the layer and everything's really visible. And so you can see what's happening and how things happen. But
nice.
Real cool.
Nice.
I'd suggest that. But yeah, really I just read that last month and out of nowhere. I read the synopsis really and it looked really fun. So I got it.
Cool.
Nice.
So yeah, I had something.
Yay. I mean, we already talked about Simon R. Green. He's top of my list almost always for urban fantasy.
Yep.
We talked about Patty Briggs. She's also on my list. Yeah. I enjoy her urban fantasy because it's not as like romance heavy as a lot of stuff that you find. And then Shannon McGuire is one of my favorite authors. And I don't have like a specific series because she's prolific. Like she writes urban fantasy in horror. She writes a few romance ones. She writes some standard urban fantasy stuff. She just spans the gambit.
Yeah.
And every single book of hers that I've ever picked up and read, I have liked. So it's hard for me to be like this book specifically. I started out with The Girl in the Green Silk Dress.
Right, yeah, because you've talked about that one before.
Yep.
On the, yeah,
which is good. She also writes a series called Rosemary and Rue, which is a little more on the paranormal fiction side, you know, romantic-ish,
gotcha,
but not full romance, which I really like. Also, good magic systems, good lore, good just enjoy. She also writes for the Spider-Gwen comic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I like nice. It.
Yeah. So, like, that's really fun. Go ahead.
That totally reminded me of Sarah Gailey. She wrote Magic for Liars, which also could have been, could kind of, because she's like a hard-boiled detective, but she's a like at a magic school. Like, yeah.
Nice. Okay.
That one was really good. I like that one a lot.
For specific books, I have Trolls in the Hamptons by Celia Jerome, which I love. So it's this urban fantasy about this gal who is, she's like a, is she a graphic novel, like a comic book artist, I think? And one day she starts drawing this silly little like comic about a like a superhero troll in her city, and then the troll shows up and starts causing havoc. But she's the only one that can see it. Like it'll knock over a fire hydrant, and like nobody will see it, but the fire hydrant will start like spewing water and stuff. And then like this detective from this secret government agency that that helps to control like phantasmical creatures.
Black.
Yeah, Men in Black, basically, but for paranormal stuff, like, shows up, and they have to work together to stop her creations. It's really funny, kind of lighthearted, and it's really fun. And then Black Blade Blues by J.A. Pitts. There's actually two, I think, there might be up to three in the series now, but it's Black Blade Blues and Honeyed Words are the ones that I've read. And it's dragons and magic and really strong female lead and LGBTQ plus like representation and stuff like that. And the main character is this blacksmith who ends up like she does blacksmithing and also works for a theater company. And one of the swords in the theater set gets broken. And she's like, well, I can, I can go home and repair it. And it ends up being a magical dwarven sword. And then she gets like pulled into this like magical plot with there's dragon shapeshifters and there's dwarves and there's elves and there's just all of this stuff, and she's trying to balance her like relationship with her girlfriend and her job and everything. And it's really fun.
Nice.
All these both sound really good.
Yeah.
I'm in it.
Yeah. That sounds really good.
It's really, really good. But yeah, those are I have so many more books that I've read, but those are my list for like solid recommendations that I give to people.
Yeah. The Trolls
in the Hamptons.
That one sounds great.
It's super fun. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
I know that you guys haven't had book club yet this month because we are recording early.
Oh, okay. That's why.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have the next book club selection.
Okay. Well,
it's just although I did read one in our current book. Oh wait, I don't know. Is this going to air before the book club?
This will air after the book club. Okay.
Spoiler alert, if anybody read Agatha's Monster in the latest volume of Writers of the Future, it was really good. And it was kind of weird, and it was maybe a little bit urban fantasy cuz it was like this little girl who like can so there's like a weird schism happens, something happened in time, and then the afterward effect is that these weird monster things keep appearing.
Oh, wow.
Around the world, usually after like a traumatic event, most specifically if a death is involved, these monsters will appear. And then depending on how like massive the event was or whatever, would create a bigger monster or like whatever. And then there's these people called mages who can see them because not everybody can see them.
Okay.
And she's from a family of very like famous mages, but she cannot see all of the monsters. She can only see some monsters sometimes.
Interesting.
And
I wonder why that is.
Right? Yeah. And so it was interesting. I liked it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I will update, obviously, the podcast page on the website with the book club book when it does get chosen.
Yes.
Whatever that is. Unfortunately, we don't have it yet.
We don't have it yet.
Because Sarah doesn't, bully her way into choices. She lets the group vote for them.
How dare you? I know.
And we'll do that with the YA book club as well, because that will update also around the same time.
Around the same time, exactly.
We don't currently have.
Because we're recording this on the 1st, so we'll meet on Friday, and then we'll have the book club selections up this weekend. So obviously, I don't know where this is going to air, but that's
the book club selections will be updated before this episode airs.
So go look at those. They're really great books.
Go look
I promise you.
Insert book here now.
Right. I know. I'm just going to. The book club selection for this month is, and then I'm just going to come in, and it's going to be like completely different audio levels, being like, this is the title.
Yeah. Exactly.
Cut and paste. Yes. I'm not going to do that. That's way too much work.
Yeah.
So, what have y'all been reading recently?
What have y'all been? I've been reading a lot lately.
Y'all.
You want to? I'll go because I have my phone up, and that's why I have it up. I read both of Alex Finlay's books, Every Last Fear and Where Are You? Other book. Every Last Fear and Night Shift. And they were. They're true crimey, which was the interesting part. Okay. You know, you read true crime or listen to true crime.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So Night Shift is like in a world where the Burger Chef murders happen.
Mm.
And then 15 years later, another Burger Chef happens in the same city, the same way. But the killer like said something to the last two final girls and there was a survivor at each one. Mm. And then it brings like the two final girls together and then like people from the school and cops and the young brother of the guy who was accused of the first murder and really interesting. But it's like it's Burger Chef murders. And then the other one, the Every Last Fear, was pretty interesting because it was like the main character finds out his family dies mysteriously and he has to go tell his brother who's in prison. And his brother is in prison for a pretty famous murder and the family had been part of a Netflix documentary.
Oh.
And so it's all like linking to...
Interesting.
Yeah,
so
right?
Interesting. Yeah.
Like really unique ways to approach true crime, but both of them were really good. The Night Shift I would read first. Mm. It's just mystery is nice and good in it.
Okay.
Lots of clues, lots of looking.
Interesting. That's cool. Cool. That sounds really cool.
And then I read, I read Razorblade Tears, finally. And Razorblade Tears by S.A. Cosby. Really interesting. The book got pretty big last year. Mm. It is Southern Noir, I think is what they call it.
Okay.
And it's two ex-cons. Their boys get killed. Their boys were murdered.
Mm.
And they were married. They were husbands. So they were murdered, and these two ex-cons who had a hard time with their lifestyle, their son's lifestyle, go try to figure out what's happening and sort of... It's a white guy and a black guy, and they have to work through their race stuff down in the South and then work through just this mystery. But by diving into the LGBT community and like learning lessons in there. So it's like really heartwarming and like and super violent. And so it's a really good mix for me, right? I shed some tears though.
Nice.
And I just read I'm Not Dying With You Tonight, which is about two girls who get caught in a race riot.
Ooh.
And then have to work their way out of the center of the riot.
Oh, wow.
And a black and a white girl who don't know each other. And then, again, working on those stereotypes. And it's really cool stuff.
Wow. I love it. That's awesome.
That's cool. Yeah.
And if you guys haven't read it, I just started. I read the first two Heartstoppers, the graphic novels.
Oh, okay.
You should read Heartstopper if you can.
Okay.
It flows really quickly. The art is beautiful. And it's just a lovely, lovely love story. I cried, I think, three times reading the second volume. So
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I like that.
Cool. Let's see what I've been reading recently. Actually, I've just finished a comic book graphic novel called Mom, Mother of Madness, which was really good. The reason I originally got interested in it was because it's by all female creators.
Oh, nice.
So, and I was even reading the, copyright page where it lists out all the, the writer and the artist and the letterer and the person who's editing it and the person who, all these things, and they're all women, which I thought was amazing. And it's like, I don't really know how to describe it. It was... Madness is what it was. It
just
was
madness.
Like,
I mean, it's like, mother of I mean, madness,
it's
right?
Basically about a single mom who has these weird supernatural powers. When she's sad, she heals, she has super healing, and all of them are tied to her emotions. So when she's scared, she turns invisible. If she's being like curious or something like that, she gets supersonic hearing. And then, like, I don't know. It was really good. It was interesting. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I liked it a lot.
Nice. I've been reading slowly chapters of an anthology called Cat Fantastique.
Fantastique.
Nice. It's really interesting. It's all stories that are like cat centralized, nice. But like all over the spectrum from like talking cat sci-fi stuff nice. To just like cats being cats and people being people, but like learning to live together kind of thing. It's really, really interesting. A lot of authors I've never heard before in it. So just, I don't know. It's really cool. It was one of the ones that we got, one of the used books that we got, and it was like the picture on it is this like Victorian dress with like the ruffle collar, and then it's just a cat head on it. And I was like, well, I'm going to buy that one.
That made the rounds up here. We all looked at it.
Yeah, yeah. I bought that and I've been reading it, and nice. It's actually really nice. Interesting That's so cool. far. And then I'm reading a manga called it's one of those really long titles that I'm sure it has a secondary title in Japanese that you like doesn't, but it's The Skeleton Knight Couldn't Protect the Dungeon.
Ah.
And it's so silly, but I love it so much. And it's just this skeleton who was part of an army of skeletons that worked for this demon lady. And he got defeated, and then his mistress got killed in front of him. And then he re-wakes up back at the point of his first, like when he first got brought back from the dead by this like necromancer person, and with all of his memories of his past, like of his life up to that point, and he realizes that he like has a chance to change things. And so he tries to save the necromancer that summoned him and fails and then gets killed. And then he wakes back up at the same moment with all of the experience that he's gained. And so he like slowly starts to like gain levels and power and magic, like way beyond what just a skeleton should have. Right. And nice. Like, and like,
so he's grinding.
He's grinding. Yeah. Well, and then there's like checkpoints too. Cause like sometimes he'll die and he won't restart from the very beginning. He'll restart from a certain point and then go from there, but then once he finishes like a story arc, quote like a quest, then he'll restart from the very beginning. And like, but like the things that he did when he completed that quest are like now permanent fixtures in the world, so he's like rewriting history as he goes, trying to get to this place.
Amazing.
It's hilarious.
Smart.
I love it so much. And it's he always starts back at level one, but like with all of the skills that he gained. And so he'll start and it'll be like level one, and then in brackets it'll be like level 67, like
that's funny.
It's funny. Ridiculous, and I love it so much. I've just been having a great time reading it, but it's so long. There's so many chapters to read.
Nice. All right, cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
All right. Well, I think that wraps us up for the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I don't have anything else. So, cool. Thanks for joining us. I hope you listen next time.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Bye.
Okay, bye. We're real good at that.
We're getting better.
You've been listening to The Word Warren on AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventure Underground at their online store or their virtual storefronts hosted by bookshop.org and libro.fm. Physical, digital, or audio, Adventures Underground has you covered.
If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/advunderground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows, and soon, many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.